Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Bailey. And when I started this show in 2008, I was on a mission to promote women-owned businesses and help women succeed by providing resources and valuable tips from other women and men, small business owners. In each interview, my guests speak openly about their triumphs, the scary times, and tough decisions they have to make along the way. Women Entrepreneurs Radio is about showing women how to harness their natural strengths to achieve success on their own terms. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio and with your host, Deborah Bailey. Really glad that you could join me today. And if you're listening to this show on Podomatic, you can also find it on iTunes. And please make sure that you go there and do a query for Women Entrepreneurs Radio. Subscribe to the show. And also be wonderful if you can leave a review. Just let everybody know how much you like it, because it's always easier for other people to find the show if there are reviews there. So all the algorithms and all the different things that are all over social media definitely are affected by reviews. So please make sure that you leave a review. 5 stars is always nice. And also, if you're interested in being on the show, then you can come to womenentrepreneursecrets.com, and there is a place there where you can send a message. Also, if you want to share anything on the blog, we're always open for guest posts. And you can also see the other platforms the show is on. If you click on podcasts in the menu bar, then you will find links to other places, and also some of the older shows are being moved to Libsyn, and those are being distributed to different platforms as well. So there's different ways for you to listen in and check out the newer guests, and also shows that have been recorded over the years. So I really hope that you will do that as well. So what we're going to do is get started with our guest today. She's a returning guest, Diane Gardner, your tax coach, and especially right now with many changes to the tax codes and different things that people want to be aware of. I think this will be a very, very interesting and informative conversation. And Diane Gardner is a certified tax coach and best-selling author whose proactive planning approach helps clients dodge the tax bullet. Her tax coaching sessions have resulted in a combined savings of over $1,767,928 to date. Hard-earned profits small business owners would have given to the government by overpaying taxes. Diane is a co-author of the best-selling book, Stand Apart, and Why Didn't My CPA Tell Me That? She's also authored 6 books, including Stop Overpaying Your Taxes, 11 Ways Entrepreneurs Overpay, and How to Stop It Now. So welcome back to the show, Diane. Really glad to have you here.
Oh, Deb, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to sharing some great information, and it's always a real privilege to be asked to come back on a program again.
Yes, it's always good to, you know, have people on who can share some really meaningful information for the listeners. And, you know, people really have to get to the heart of what they need, you know, without a lot of fluff and a lot of things that really aren't helpful. Because when it comes to money in particular, people are, you know, they get nervous, they get anxious, they really want to know someone who knows what they're talking about. So before we dive into the topic at hand, if you could just briefly share about your business and how you got into it for those listeners who may not have heard your first program.
You bet. For those who are not familiar with me, I was a traditional accountant, and I use the term was. I changed the way I do business back as we were going through the recession years, back in the 2008, 2009, 2010 era, when my clients were going out of business because the economy had tanked so badly and that type of thing. And I realized that if my clients continued going out of business, I was going to be next and I needed to find a way to stop that from happening. Mm-hmm. So I decided to change what I was doing and switched from focusing on traditional accounting services to focusing on proactive tax planning. Because during the recession, there were a lot of businesses who were making tons of money out there because of the recession. Not everybody was going out of business. And then there were some that were just holding on. And then there was a whole group that were really making money. And so we decided to shift our focus and start targeting successful entrepreneurs, business owners, medical professionals, those type of people, because they tend to pay the most income tax. And start coming along beside them and putting in place for them strategies that will save them income tax on their tax return this year and next year and the year after. And it's really exciting because the tax savings I put in place 4 or 5 years ago for somebody are still working, even though we have major overhaul with our tax situation right now. Those same strategies are still working for my clients and they're still reaping the rewards for that. So it's a very, wonderful spot to be in as an accountant, because I get to change people's lives by changing the amount of tax that they owe, helping them get out of debt, using that money for growing their business for whatever it is that their dreams and goals and desires are, instead of just doing more of the compliance side of things of getting the right numbers in the right forms and filing them on time and being done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get to see use a little more of the creative side of me. In this endeavor.
Well, that's really fantastic. And, you know, also I want to note that I know a lot of times that small business owners may think, well, I'm too small to use someone to help me plan my taxes, or it's just me. You know, I know a few people who don't really have any accountants or anybody really to help them to pull things together. So what would you recommend to them? If people think they're really too small, is that really true?
In my experience, you're really never too small to work with an accountant of some sort. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to work with some of the more top accountants, but you definitely want to get in with an accountant, especially in light of all the changes to the new tax law. So you then make sure that you're keeping your records correctly under the new guidelines. Mm-hmm. And that you're not missing out on deductions that you weren't aware of, because we've had a massive overhaul to our tax law now. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you align yourself with a good accountant. I know as I talk to entrepreneurs from all across the U.S., I always have them send me their last 2 years' tax returns. And there's times when I talk to people who really aren't ready for true tax planning. But mm-hmm. in my office, then we talk to them about profit planning, as I'm also a profit first professional. And so then we're able to sit down with them and help them take control over their profit in their business and start growing that profit number. Mm-hmm. So we try to work both ends of the spectrum, though I specialize in tax planning first, but then we have the profit planning if we can't help them with the tax planning.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. And I, you know, just want to make sure that anyone listening who thinks that this doesn't really apply to them, or is it sure that they know that they can also benefit. So Diane, you know, let's dive into this. You know, what has really changed for the small business owner here?
Well, let me back up before we hit the small business owner and talk just briefly about their personal tax return, mm-hmm. because it all ultimately runs downhill and lands mm-hmm. on your personal return. So some of the things that you've probably heard people talking about and maybe even agonizing over is we've lost our personal exemptions. Mm. That's been a big thing for a lot of people, especially people that have families. They have children, multiple children. Those personal exemptions have given you a fairly decent-sized deduction in the past. Well, those are gone for 2018 going forward. But on the other side, the good side on that is standard deduction has basically been doubled. It's not exactly double, but close enough that we're calling it doubled. Mm-hmm. So that will cause fewer people to need to itemize their deductions. And in theory, that should help take care of losing some of the personal exemptions. In theory, it's supposed to kind of even out a little bit. I'm not exactly convinced that that's going to even out. But it will be nice, because there'll be fewer people having to itemize their deductions. Mm-hmm. We also gain on the child tax credit. In the past, it's been $1,000 per child through age 16. It is now $2,000 per child. So that's going to help those families with children who lost the personal exemptions. They'll be able to pick it up through the child tax credit. Now, those of us who don't have children at home aren't going to be able to benefit from that piece, but there is a new family tax credit. So I have several of my clients who are supporting, maybe it's parents or grandparents or a sibling or older children who came home to roost and haven't left yet. So they don't qualify as a dependent as a child, but they'll qualify as an other dependent. There's a new $500 credit for them. Now that part is a non-refundable credit, so you have to have the tax to use up the credit. But that's going to kind of help in those situations. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the biggest things that are going to affect your tax return, my tax return, everybody's return are kind of those basic areas before we even start talking about the business side of things. Now, we also have lower tax brackets. The 15% bracket has now turned into 12%. The 25% bracket is now 22%. So that isn't huge, but it helps. Every little bit helps. Mm-hmm. And they've made some things a little bit easier on that end of things. And then we head off into the business area. And this is where the fun starts happening. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just back up before I jump into the business. We have five different basic entity types that businesses operate under. We have your sole proprietorship, which may also be a single member LLC operating as a sole proprietorship. We have partnerships, so general partnerships and limited partnerships and those types of things. We also have S corporations and C corporations. And then we have just the general LLC out there, which can act like a sole proprietor, a general partnership, an S corp, or a C corp. So we have lots of these entities happening. And in this new overhaul of the tax law, Congress really was looking at the big C corps, the big companies out there that are trading internationally. And they were trying to bring us to the point where we could trade a little more favorably internationally. And so they brought that corporate rate from 35 to 50% where it used to be down to 21%. Well, when they did that for the big guys, they felt the need to do something for the small guys because they know that America is made up primarily of small business owners. It's all of us doing business out of our home, out of an office, out of a storefront, wherever it might be. We're doing business and we're the heart of America. Mm-hmm. And so they felt the need to give some perks to the small business owner because they gave such a big perk to the large corporations out there. So because of that, we have a new type of income called qualified business income. We've always had regular, normal, active, or your operating income, which is just your profit from your business, basically. Then we've had passive income, which was things like rental income and that type of just non-active type businesses. Then we also have had investment income, which is your interest in your dividends and those types of things. And now we have a new qualified business income. So as an accountant, I'm always saying we have different colors of money. We might have green money and pink money and blue money, and now we have purple money. And so that just makes it easier for people to visualize in their mind. And the green money is the profit from your business. And the purple money is our new qualified business income. Mm-hmm. And the way this works, in theory, I'm going to keep this really, really super simple, is that you're going to take the net profit from your business and multiply it times 20%. And that's going to give you a new deduction that's going to land on either your business return or your personal return, depending on your entity type. Mm-hmm. So if you're a sole proprietor or a single member LLC and you file a Schedule C, you're going to see it on your personal return. If you're a partnership or an S corp and you have a K-1 form, that K-1 form will land on your personal return. So the deduction will also land on your personal return. And so it's going to take kind of different forms depending on the type of entity that you're operating. And then there's a whole bunch of other hoops that we're going to have to jump through if we are different kinds of businesses. Now, this new deduction works really, really well for people who are in non-professional service type businesses. Those of us who are accountants and attorneys and business coaches and medical professionals and some of those kinds of businesses where what we do is based on our skill level, not so much that we're selling a product or a service, we have special hoops to jump through to be able to take this deduction. We're in what's kind of called a tainted profession. Mm-hmm. As they're wanting to reward the general masses of business. And so if we're in one of those types of entity or one of those types of industries and our income exceeds $157,500 for a single person or $315,000 for a joint filer, then we start losing this deduction. And so for my own clientele, I am going to be looking for ways that we can dissect their business and see if there is a stream of revenue coming in that's not necessarily related to that, your profession. So an example is I have a doctor who he's in a tainted profession because he's a self-employed doctor, but he also runs his own group where he hires other independent doctors and farms them out to hospitals and places that need their help. So he runs a locums group. And so we are going to be looking at, can we pull the services that he does, his hiring services where he's, you know, getting a commission or whatever you want to call it back from the hospital, can we pull that apart into a separate business and now be able to take advantage of this new qualified business income deduction on that business because his medical profession, he's tainted. I myself am tainted. I'm an accountant. So can we keep our income low enough? Or because I own a rental property, which is my office where I operate, can I pay myself enough rent into my LLC that owns my rental property and be able to use the qualified business income deduction on that piece of my tax return and not on my accounting firm? So it starts getting really complicated, but it's a great deduction when we can make it work. And the good news is Congress says it works on rental properties, not just an active business, which was really exciting. Because usually rental property is considered passive income. And so you usually don't get to take advantage of some of the business write-offs in a rental property type business. So that was great news for anybody with rental properties out there. So did I thoroughly confuse you? Hopefully not.
Well, you've certainly shown me that there's a lot involved.
Yes, and I was trying to keep it so simple because it's really complicated.
There's a lot involved here.
Planning opportunities because of that one piece of the law is some huge planning opportunities that weren't there last year. And so that's where it gets exciting for me is looking at my clients and future clients is what can we do? Is there some way we can pull this piece apart? Can we, you know, can we take advantage of this? How do we can we structure their business in a better way? Can we increase profit in this area so we can take advantage of it? So just lots of planning opportunities now that weren't there before.
So do you, it sounds as though the person who does have like uses this at the Schedule C will see a lot of changes on the personal side of their tax, maybe more so. Did I hear that correctly?
They will see on the personal side, and because their business is reported on their personal return, they will also see it from the business too. Now, another really cool thing under the new tax law is we're able to expense, or, and I'm going to say slash depreciate, equipment in the year that we purchase it. So that's really cool for those businesses that are a little more heavy in the equipment side of things. I know as an accountant, I have equipment, I have some computers and file cabinets and desks and stuff like that, but nothing like one of my clients who moves dirt for a living. He's an excavation company and they spend millions of dollars in equipment. He is so ecstatic over that piece of it. Because it's going to allow us, you know, with no problem to write off big pieces of equipment in the year that he buys them. Now, there are some limitations on that rule. having to do with the life of the equipment. So normally when we purchase something, it's either a 3, a 5, or a 7 year life for the most part. Now there's other lives out there. And so if we were to buy multiple items that were, say, all 5 year life, and on our tax return in the past, we could use Section 179 and say, I just want to take this one item and write it off in the year that I bought it. Mm-hmm. And we'll save the others for depreciation for future years because I don't need that big of a write-off. Well, now under the new law says if you write off one, you're going to have to write off all, or you're going to have to elect to not do it at all if you can't use all of them. Mm-hmm. So planning opportunities, again, we're going to need to be talking to our clients and not waiting till the last second at the end of the year and they run out and buy a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about going to be about planning, which is why I'm saying even little smaller businesses need to have a strong accountant in their corner now, because there's so much planning opportunities that we didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. So as far as a business person, let's say, you mentioned before, like a business coach, and they may not have equipment maybe other than a computer or other things or mobile device or something, you know, is there any, I guess, oh, you know, it depends, of course, on the person, but is there any advantages to them in something like that write-off, or maybe some other write-offs that are there now that weren't before?
Right. Well, potentially that, you know, they may not be able to take advantage of that piece of it as much because mm-hmm. they're not equipment intensive in their business. Now, there are some other changes in the business meals and entertainment area. Huge changes in this area. In the past, we've always been able to deduct 50% of our business meals and our travel meals and business related entertainment. Mm-hmm. And those rules have changed dramatically under the new tax law. Mm. So under the new law, business entertainment is now not deductible at all. And I just had to give a client some really bad news a few minutes before we went on the phone. On our call here, in that this particular client likes to take a couple of his customers up to Alaska for a fishing trip every year. He's been doing this for years and we've been writing it off as business entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell him it's not deductible any longer. And he was just devastated over that because mm-hmm. they all look forward to doing this annual trip.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not, I mean, he can do it, he just won't be able to write it off. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge thing on certain kinds of businesses. Now, under the new tax law, business meals, where you meet somebody for lunch or you're meeting somebody for coffee or whatever, those types of business meals where businesses conducted, or we're meeting somebody new on the chance that we're going to pick them up as a customer or a client. Those types of meals under the new tax law right now, it currently says they're not deductible, mm-hmm. but there is some movement in Congress, kind of like an oops, we didn't really mean that. And so we are hoping that before the end of the year, they will come back and say that those particular types of meals will be deductible and hopefully at the same 50% that they were before. Mm-hmm. So we're having our clients go ahead and keep track of them on the hope that when we hit the end of the year that they will say that they're deductible. But we know for sure entertainment is gone.
That seems so short-sighted considering how much business is done in that way.
Yes. Yes, so much business is done that way. And so that's why it's almost like, oops, we didn't really mean that. This mm-hmm. is what we meant. And so they're going to have to come out with some sort of a clarification, an amendment of something that allows us to be able to take those. I think they got a lot of pushback when the law, you know, came into being at the end of December last year. I think they got an awful lot of pushback on that from the business community.
So it's, wait, I would think so.
Yes.
I would think so, because I mean, I can remember conferences and things, or just, you know, meeting a prospect.
Yes.
Those are things that small business particularly, you know, I can't speak for what corporate people are doing, but small business in particular, that's just everyday kind of thing.
It is, especially because we have so many people working from home anymore.
Yes.
And so you're not going to bring somebody into your home to meet with them. You're going to meet them at the local coffee shop or the local diner or the deli or the whatever. You're going to meet them somewhere. And mm-hmm. then that's where you're going to have your meeting. Where 10, 15 years ago, you had fewer people doing business out of their home. The recession really, I think, brought out the boom of the home business. mm-hmm. where all you need is a spare room and a computer. And, right. and you're basically in business where right. you didn't see that before. And now mm. you do. And so that business meals, it was, is huge for them because you've got to have some place to go and meet people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure Starbucks gets a lot of business just because of that need.
Yeah. A lot of places do, you know, a lot of places where I am most definitely, I've been, you know, the diners and all different, restaurants and, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So I think in some ways it sounds as though, I guess the people making these decisions have not caught up to the today's business reality in some ways.
Right. Yeah. I think that, yeah, I think they are out of touch because they haven't been a small business person in possibly quite a while.
Yes.
And don't realize that so much business is conducted in that type of an environment now, mm-hmm. as opposed to having more of the corporate type office.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. We're all mobile anymore.
Yeah. That's so true. You know, so it's a different landscape, altogether. So, what are some other things that we should be aware of?
You're brave, aren't you?
I know, because that one, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even, you know, I didn't even know that one. So,
right.
Wow. Well,
some good news is that travel meals are still deductible at the 50% rate, like they always have been. Mm-hmm. So we're really encouraging our clients to, on your chart of accounts for your financial statements, is have travel meals, business meals, and then what we're calling employee meals. So I'll talk about travel meals again. Travel meals, you need to be away from home overnight. And so that is the attending the conference, meeting an out-of-town client, those types of things where you are away from home overnight. And then those meals are still completely, you know, deductible at the 50% rate, just like they were previously. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be important to separate your meals into the right categories and not commingle them all into just meals. Mm-hmm. Then we have a category called employee meals, which has kind of become a more important category than it used to be. Employee meals are usually something that's for the convenience or the benefit of the employer. Mm-hmm. So I'll use one of my clients, let's say maybe one of my contractor type clients, where they're working we live in the mountains and the hills in northern Idaho, so they're working out away from town, and they may be out somewhere, maybe might be half an hour, an hour away from town working on a project. Well, rather than let those employees all scatter and try to go get lunch, they will bring lunch in and keep them there on the job site. And so that is for the benefit of the employer. Or like myself during tax season, it's fairly common that I will bring lunch in and keep everybody here in the building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get a break, but they don't scatter on me. And because people are coming in, they're dropping off taxes stuff, they're picking up things, and we need a couple hands on deck type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so those meals that are for the benefit or the convenience of the employer are still deductible. So we didn't lose that one, which is good. And then there's the meals like where you might do a big event. And I'm thinking of myself, I do a large client appreciation event every August. And we bring about 100 of our clients together and we give out a bunch of awards to them. And I always have some sort of a teaching topic that I do, but we feed them while they're there. Mm-hmm. And so the food is kind of incidental to the whole meeting of what we do. Those types of meals are still deductible. And those are deductible at 100%. Mm-hmm. So those go more into your advertising and promotion type side of your business.
Oh, okay.
And I know that, you know, that there's a lot of other businesses who do something similar. They'll bring a group of people together, they'll feed them, and they'll talk about their newest product or their newest service or their newest offering, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Or they're doing a book launch or they're doing something along those lines and they're feeding them at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that makes a different kind of meal.
Right.
So they really sliced and diced the meals area now compared to what we had before.
Yeah, it sounds like it. As far as people, I guess, traveling and mileage and things like that, is that still deductible?
Yes, yes. Mileage is still deductible. We didn't lose anything there. Mm-hmm. We still have the choice to do your standard mileage at 54.5 cents per mile or the actual out-of-pocket, track your out-of-pocket costs and depreciate your vehicle, those types of things. So that is still the same way it always has been, which is good news that we didn't get major changes there. Mm-hmm. And you still need to have your written mileage log, whether it's an actual handwritten form or it's an app like MileIQ or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, that's something, I guess. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, there's so many, I guess, so many changes that I could see it would be very stressful for the individual business owner to try to really figure all this out.
Right, which is why they need to have that accountant in their back pocket.
Right.
Who has really taken the time to figure out this new tax law. One other little strategy that we probably talked about the last time I met with you was the whole hiring your kids strategy to work in your business. Mm-hmm. That strategy is actually more valuable now than it was before. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the doubling of the standard deduction. So before, we would hire our kids, but the maximum they could earn without having to pay tax was about $6,300. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was, that worked out for most businesses because usually it's the college child coming home in the summer and maybe they're working in your business during the summer months, or it's a younger child that you have doing some things here and there in your business. But mm-hmm. now with the standard deduction being doubled to $12,000, now we have the potential of sending $12,000 from my tax return to my child's tax return and getting it at the 0 or maybe 10% rate, mm-hmm. where I'm at a much higher rate myself. Mm-hmm. So wonderful that the fact that they doubled the standard deduction gives us more planning opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's good and there's maybe not so good.
Right. Yes, the way this law, they give something and they take something away. And then they give you something else and they take something else away. And it is going to be confusing for the next couple of years until people get used to the new law and what its effect is and what you can and can't do. It's so funny. I still have people asking me when they sell a house, can I just, invest that money in the next home and not have to pay tax on it? And I laugh because that particular rule has been gone for probably about 25 years.
Oh, really?
And they're asking me that. And it's like, no, that's not how it works now under the new law. So it's going to take time for people to wrap their heads around this new law and what its pros and cons are. And then working on, how can we use it in such a way that we can maximize the strategies in our business. And so my new question I'm always asking people now is, what is your tax preparer or your accountant doing to help you maximize this new tax law in your business? Because most of the accountants are just now starting to learn about it. Tax season's been over, about a month now? And they're just now starting to come on board and figure out what's going on with the new tax law. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that your accountant has already fully embraced it. They've already done a bunch of training on it and they're willing and able and ready to jump right in and start helping you with how do we structure you? How do we change this? Do we need to change that? Do I need to pull apart pieces of your revenue? What do I need to do to make this new tax law work for your benefit as much as we possibly can?
Yes. That's true. Just to, get some assistance so that it doesn't seem so incredibly overwhelming.
Yes.
So, Diane, if you could just share where people can find out more about you and how, they can get your books and different ways they can work with you.
You bet. The best way is to reach out to me at www.taxcoachforyou.com. We use the number 4 in the website address. In there, they can find all my books. We do have a page where all of them are listed. We're in the process of going through and updating every one of my books for the new tax law. Mm-hmm. So one by one, we're going to get them out there on the website. If you do hop on and order one that hasn't been updated, we will be sending you the updated one just as soon as it's printed. I spent time last week going through and doing all the Word doc side of it. Now I just got to get them all formatted and off out to the printer and get them running again. So that was a
wonderful
huge job to get
them. Yeah, I guess
updated.
So.
because I had to read every single one of my own books to figure out what still worked and what didn't.
Well, after you've written them, sometimes you just don't feel like reading it one more time.
Well, and some of them I wrote a couple years ago. It's like, oh yeah, I remember this now. It's kind of funny. Anyhow, for purposes of this particular interview, we have put together about a 5 or 6 page handout that says the 2018 tax outlook, big changes in place. And I would love to share that out to anybody who's interested in that. And they can download that particular, I guess we'll call it a white paper, a handout, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. at www.taxcoachforyou.com/new-tax-law. And they can have instant access to that report, which will help. Hopefully, if you, sometimes it helps when you have something in writing and you can refer back to it and say, oh, yeah, she did mention something about this.
Right. Oh, that's perfect. I'm making sure to add that to the show notes, everyone. So you can get that link, and also will be on the Women Entrepreneur Secrets blog. It's usually the bios are there as well. So, of course, you can click through there. If you read this on the blog, so you can download that and take a look for yourself as to what are some of the important points that you should know about this law. So, Diane, it really sounds like, maybe the smaller business person is going to have certain impacts, and maybe the larger businesses, or as you said, the type of business you have, but it's all a little different. Is that really how it looks?
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. And so it's gonna take some, talking with your accountant, your tax preparer, and having these conversations that maybe in the past you didn't really feel the need to reach out to them until closer to tax time. Mm-hmm. We, in my own office, we did 2 seminars where we utilized our brand new conference room in our new building and mm-hmm. filled it up, packed it out both times. Because my clients are interested in wanting to know. And then I also did it in a webinar format just because I have clients all across the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to send out the webinar link to everybody with from the recording. Mm-hmm. And so that has been helpful for my own clients, just helping them wrap their head around how is this going to affect me mm-hmm. in my business.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because if everyone really has their own thing now that's going to be affected in a totally different way, and, like you were mentioning, the person who was asking about deduction that hasn't been around for years. I think we all may think something different than's actually been going on. We assume, and other people think so. If you talk about other business owners, we all probably have the wrong idea as to what's happening.
Well, you would be surprised how much tax advice is given out at the local hairdresser or at the local auto repair shop. I laugh when my clients come in. Well, so-and-so told me, and I'm thinking, why don't you just ask me instead of them? So it's pretty funny sometimes.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then you listen to these things and people are so sure they're right, but then.
Right, yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah. And with the new law, it's got such a different twist on everything. And I only went over just the real highlights because I didn't mm-hmm. want to get too technical on you. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. There's a lot of moving pieces out there this year that we didn't have to really think about as much in the previous years. Mm. And then this new law currently is set to go away at the end of 2025. So we will see what happens when we get closer to that date, mm-hmm. whether they will start doing extenders and all that kind of stuff like they've done in the past. But
for now, we know
for the next several years what our game plan
is going to be. And I guess in terms of people who pay quarterly taxes, are there other changes as far as that, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, the rules for the estimated payments are still the same. Mm-hmm. When I ran numbers for some of my clients who are brave little guinea pigs for me during tax season, we would take their 2017 numbers and apply the new 2018 law to them. Mm-hmm. And most everybody that we did that to, their estimated payment numbers were lower than what they would be when my software just calculated them based on the 2017 law. I was able to sit down with several of my clients and lower those estimated payments for this year. Mm-hmm. Now, there were some that it didn't work out on, but those right. that it did. And so they were really thrilled. If they, maybe in the past they'd been making, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 payment every quarter, and mm-hmm. we were able to bring them down to $1,500 to $2,000 or something.
Wow. And so
that was helpful to them. Just mm-hmm. you know, that little bit right there. And then there's those that make much, you know, much bigger payments, and we were mm-hmm. able to bring some of those down as well. Wow. So it was kind of nice to be armed with this information while I was in the middle of tax season, and it was crazy, but to be able to have the ability to run some preliminary numbers with them
right.
and just kind of see. And for the most part, about 85-90% of the clients that we did the ran the numbers on under the new tax law, about 85-90% of them came up owing less tax for 2018 than they owed in 2017 mm-hmm. using the same set of numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was kind of nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few that owed a little more, but you know, wasn't much, but a little bit more. But
right.
for the most part, they actually owed less,
mm-hmm.
which was the whole goal behind the new tax law.
And like we were saying before, I mean, so many things have changed in terms of people have Etsy shops, you know, because I have a small one for printables. And then, of course, a lot of people who are authors and who are self-publishing and a lot of times they're going to get monthly payments from Amazon or from other booksellers. And so these are, you could say, I don't know, professions or businesses that didn't even exist
right.
In this same way anyway, not too long ago. So it's a whole other landscape for people. And, you know, hopefully the people creating the tax laws will catch up to the fact that everything's not as traditional as it may have been at one time.
You bet. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think, unfortunately, I think it's going to take them a little while for
yeah.
that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully we're making a big enough splash out there mm-hmm. that they'll start, you know, pay more attention to
right.
these small, what they call a little, almost like a micro little business in their minds.
Mm.
Because they say the definition of a small business, I think, is anything under about 10 million in sales or 25 million. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Think, well, that's not my clientele. They don't have that many. So, you know, we must be little microscopic businesses compared to what the government uses.
Right. What was a small business? What is a totally different thing now?
Yes. Yes. And our recession, you know, 10 years ago was what really spurred so many of these small little businesses
yes.
that weren't there before.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah.
Definitely. That was a big change. And I think
it was
a lot of sectors in our society are still trying to catch up and recognize that because
yes.
it's been so different than people thought before when they pictured what a small business was. It's totally,
right.
totally different.
Well,
so,
even, even in my accounting firm, prior
mm-hmm.
to the recession, about 90% of my clients were here local in Northern Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're probably 60-65% local
mm-hmm.
and the rest are all across the U.S.
Wow.
I never would have dreamed that we'd be doing business with people all over the U.S., but everything changed during the recession.
Right.
And
right.
You know, we took away the geographical borders because we
yeah.
all went online.
Right.
And started doing business.
Right. And that's definitely changed a lot of things and particular for, you know, the woman entrepreneur who, whether she has children or not or other obligations who may now have the opportunity to do something that she wasn't able to do before because it may have required investments and things that weren't, you know, she didn't have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a totally different world, you know, as far as business, but it taxes, we really have to make sure that we're all informed and we know what our advantages are as well. And that really sounds like those are things that you're helping people to see, Diane. So this is a topic we could be here all day, but because there's so much to it, there's so much to share and talk about. But, you know, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave with the listeners about this?
I would say if you have a good accountant or somebody that you're working with, definitely reach out to them, have that conversation. If not, or you know, you're interested in reaching out to me, you can reach out to me through that website, the www.taxcoachforyou.com. I'm happy to answer questions because I know this is a year of answer questions for people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's wondering, how is this going to affect me? What's it going to do to me? What's going to happen on my next year's tax return?
Yeah.
And I would rather be proactive and answer questions and utilize the new law and be able to do some planning with people and help them plan their way to a lower tax liability than just get to the end of the year and you get, you, it is what it is at that point. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
So
that's true.
You know, be proactive. Don't sit back and just wait. Don't put your head in the sand. You know, make those changes to your chart of accounts, you know, where you're keeping track of your expenses and stuff. Get those meals all separated out so we what we're going to have at the end of the year. You know, do those kinds of things and be proactive about it.
That's great advice, definitely, because I'm sure a lot of people wait till the last minute. I know I did this year, so and then you're stressed out and you don't know what to expect. So this is always a good thing to do. So Diane, thanks so much for joining me today. You really shared some really good information and given people a lot to consider as far as what their tax picture should look like going forward.
You're so welcome, Deb. I'm just so thankful to get to be out there and kind of hitting the podcast circuits again and saying, okay, guys, let's get this information out there. Get it into the hands of the people who are doing the work, you know, the real work, right, which is our small business owners.
Right. I totally agree. So I'm so glad that there is someone out here who is, you know, being that advocate. Sometimes I think we get forgotten. So overlooked anyway, you know, even
right,
though, as you said, it really is the backbone of the country. So it's really important to address our needs. So everyone, I am really glad that you joined us. I know that you will follow up and get Diane's white paper and check out her books, because this is a big topic and you know, you may, your head may be spinning, but that's okay, because there's help out there.
So. Yeah, don't be immobilized by fear or whatever.
Right.
Jump in and let's find out how we can make this new law work to your advantage as much as possible.
Right, and that's the important part. So, well, I know you're going to do that. And like I said, definitely share it on social media and let other folks know to listen in. So once again, it's been Women Entrepreneurs Radio with your host, Deborah Bailey. So glad you could join me today, and we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. You can also join in the conversation on Facebook.com/Women Entrepreneurs and on the website WomenEntrepreneurSecrets.com. And don't forget to listen in on DVCoach.Podomatic.com and on iTunes.